Good morning. So continuing the theme of breaking bread, I'm going to read that classic section from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, starting at verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. Thanks be to God for his word.
Okay, thank you so much for that reading. We're going to actually carry on with this theme of bread. June just told me on the way out that the little ones are making bread today, so that's worked out really nicely. But I want to focus, of course, on the breaking of bread. It might seem an unusual topic to be talking on in a harvest festival, but I understand you're going through this series at the moment looking at holy habits. And of course, for Christians, this is one of the things that we do because Jesus commanded us. And I've got the verse up there talking about Jesus. He took bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So Christians right the way throughout the world will often meet, sometimes every week, sometimes once a month. I don't know how you do it in this church. And we will break bread. And remember Jesus' body. Jesus said, "This is my body." Now, I don't think that means that the actual bread becomes the body of Jesus or the blood becomes the wine. It's a symbol. You know, in the Bible often uses phrases like, "God is a rock." That doesn't mean he's made out of granite, but this represents Jesus' body for us. And with this idea of the breaking of bread, what I'd like us to remember is one key word, and there's a few words that come off this. And the key word is look. You might be thinking, what's all this about? Can I just say these ideas aren't my own? I remember reading a book about 30 years ago, and someone had put this word in, and I thought, oh, that's just so good. Because when you read that passage that we just had read, that very often is read before we take communion, Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, this idea crops up a number of times, and I just want to touch on some of these. So, for example, we have just read what Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. He said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I think that little phrase, "on the night he was betrayed," helps us just to look back. Because God has entered into history. God is not seated up just in some ivory palaces, unconcerned about what happens in this world. But in the person of Jesus, he came and intervened in this world. And Jesus was born as a real human being. It won't be long before we're celebrating Christmas again. But he lives and dies as well. And we have the incredible privilege that we know this. We can actually look back. We can trace the history of what has happened since those days. You know, sometimes I think we're far more fortunate than the Old Testament believers, those who followed God, and God kept giving them prophecies and saying, "I'm going to do something, I'm going to do something." And they trusted God, but they didn't know what he was going to do. But actually, we know what God has done in the person of Jesus. Person of Jesus who went to the cross. And so we can look back to that night, and we need to look back, and we need to remind ourselves of the incredible sacrifice that Jesus made. I'm going to play a song in a minute. It's by Graham Kendrick that sort of recounts some of these events, and I hope that it helps us and reminds us of what God has done for us in the person of Jesus. I hope the volume will come out and it'll be okay. It should be coming. It should be playing.
I was standing in the shadows.
Right, so let me go back. We'll do that again. Please excuse the applause, because this was from a live...
I was standing in the shadows at the breaking of the bread, as he touched the cup in silence, at the bowing of his head. And Judas stole out silently, as hushed the prayers were said. I knew that this was Jesus at the breaking of the bread. Gethsemane, trying hard to disbelieve what my weary eyes could clearly see. The lights, the cries, the flash of steel in the shadow of an outstretched tree. I knew this was Jesus, but this I could not foresee. I was standing in the shadows as the prisoner was led, trying not to tremble at the turning of his head, trying not to notice the breaking of his heart. I knew this was Jesus, and soon he would be dead. Shadows and the throwing of the dice, wishing I were 20,000 men and I would take that soldier's life. But Jesus looked down quietly, forgiveness in his eyes. I knew this was Jesus. Just love comes as a surprise. Standing in the shadows, man, I wished I'd not been born, rubbing shoulders with the soldier boys who laughed and mocked to scorn my Lord. I could hardly recognize his face, his body was so torn. I knew this was Jesus, and soon he will be. Breaking of the dawn, I stood and watched the place where they laid his body down. But on the stone bed where they laid him dead, nobody could be found. Then a man in white, a dazzling sight, with a voice of triumph said, he is alive.
Sorry, the words slightly went. I think it's because I pressed the button and the words didn't quite match. But it just reminds us of the incredible cost. And we look back and we see someone who died on that cross. But of course, the great bit about it is the way that song ends as well, that he says he is alive, because the story doesn't end there. In 1 Corinthians, a little bit earlier, it refers to this breaking of bread in the way that we have come to know it. It is the Lord's Supper. And actually, as well as looking back, we need to look up, because that one who hung on the cross 3 days later rose from the dead and conquered sin and death and hell. We used to sing an old hymn that says, "Death could not keep its prey, Jesus my Saviour. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord." And we need to look up, because this one who hung on the cross for us is also Lord. I know sometimes we look at the world and we think, oh golly, it doesn't seem that way. But nevertheless, this is a truth, that Jesus Christ has been raised to the right hand of God. Philippians, Paul puts it this way. He said he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that will happen one day. But in the meantime, we can preempt it. We can bow our knee. We can confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we need to remind ourselves of that as we take the bread. And sometimes amidst all the confusion of this world and the confusion of our own lives, know and assert that Jesus Christ is Lord. Again, going back to that passage, it says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord." It seems that it talks there about the body and blood of the Lord. It looks as though, you know, this is to treat the sacrifice of Jesus with contempt, and said, don't just do this in a thoughtless way, but instead, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. And so when we come to communion, there needs to be a time for us just to look in at ourselves, to look in at our lives. Because we fail, although we know that those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, all of our sins are forgiven. Week by week, we still fall, we still stumble. And we need to come to God and ask for fresh forgiveness. Because he does say, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. Can I say that sometimes we need to treat this with a great deal of solemnity? I know we're here having a great celebration, but when we come and we take that bread and this wine, I'll tell you an episode, and I say this to my shame. I remember years and years ago being in a communion service, and they read this bit out from the Bible, and the bread and the wine was coming around. And I sadly just said a sort of glib prayer, "God, I've sinned, forgive me." And it was almost as though I heard God say, and God said, "Pete, I will forgive you, but don't forget what it cost. I didn't just snap my fingers so that your sin could be forgiven." I think sometimes we need to be a little bit careful, because we can become over familiar with spiritual things. But again, to realize that cost. And of course, as I said, there's this promise from God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful. God keeps his promises. He's also just. That's why I've got that little hammer and gavel, this idea of justice. God can forgive our sins because it has been dealt with through Jesus. I know those who've been there on a Tuesday night will probably have heard me mention this illustration. Probably some of you have heard this other illustration, but it talks about the justice of God. And apparently it's a true story about someone who was a judge. And one day he was looking after this case, and he found out that the person in the dock was someone whom he had known as a child. It was an old friend of his. And sadly, their lives had gone in different directions, and this person had got himself into bad company and got himself in a right mess. And the jury had listened to the case, and the man was guilty. There was no two ways about it. The man was guilty. And now it came up to the time for the judge to pass sentence. And the judge looked down and amazingly gave him the heaviest fine that he could. This seemed a little bit astounding. But then that judge stood up and took off his wig and took off his cloak, and he left the bench and he went down and stood in the dock next to that man. And he said, I gave you that fine as your judge, but now as your friend, I'm going to pay it for you. And that's a brilliant picture of what God has done in Jesus Christ. He looks at us, and none of us are worthy of entering the presence of God. None of us are perfect. We've been found guilty. And he looks, and because he's a just God, he exacts justice. And actually, the Bible has got this terrible verse, really, in one sense. The wages of sin is death. The sentence he passes is the death sentence. But then his son Jesus leaves aside the robes of glory and comes down to this earth, stands alongside you and stands alongside me and says, I will pay that on your behalf. So we need to look in and accept the forgiveness that's so freely available through Jesus. We also need to look in another direction. This passage says, anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. It's interesting that in this passage, it doesn't talk about the body and blood, but just talks about the body of the Lord. And I would suggest that this encourages us to look around, because the term the body of the Lord is used in several different ways. And one of the key ways in which it's used, particularly actually in this book of Corinthians, in the very next chapter, Paul writes and says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Some of you might be aware of this picture that Paul spells out. And he says, we're like a body. But actually, we've all got our different parts to play, and we're all important. And he says, the eye can't say to the ear, we don't need you. Because, of course, the ear is important for hearing. The eye is important for seeing. And we've got different tasks. And not everyone's going to be up the front, but we can all serve in different ways. And so when we take communion, it is good just to look around. Who has God placed us with? Can I just say, the fact that you are together and we are together as Market Drayton Methodist Church is not an accident, because God is Lord. He is in control. And actually, in his divine plan, he has chosen to put you and me alongside one another. Hallelujah. It's gone very quiet now. But actually, we are all here to help and support one another, to encourage one another, to challenge one another, to comfort one another. And actually, as we take the bread and as we take the wine, we should look around and see, who's God put us with? How can I help them? How can they help me? In fact, sometimes if I'm leading communion, sometimes we'll take the bread individually and have a quiet time with God for ourselves. But when we take the wine, I encourage people just to look around and actually to begin to give thanks for one another and begin to recognize our responsibilities, that we are a body joined together to help. So let's look around. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, it says, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. You don't just remember it. You're actually sending that message out again, that Jesus Christ has died, that Jesus Christ has forgiven sins through his death. And so I think we also need to look outwards. It is great to be able to come together, to worship God together, to say, thank you, God, for what you've done for me. Thank you, God, for what you've done for us. But actually, we need to have a bigger vision. God isn't just concerned about what happens inside these church walls. God is concerned about Market Drayton. God is concerned about the surrounding areas as well. In Romans, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Sometimes I ask people, I said, would you like to have the power of God in your life? And of course, everyone says, yes. Well, actually, we've got the power of God, the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And to make sure that we don't just keep this message to ourselves, that we share it. Finally, very last one, is right at the end of the passage that we read. It says, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. There's a day when breaking a bread and taking the wine is going to change dramatically. We need to look forwards, because there is an end that is coming. There is an end that's coming to this world, and Jesus Christ will come again. In Matthew 26, verse 29, he says, I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. A day is coming when this world will be over with. It will be done for. But there will be a new heaven and there will be a new earth, and people will recognize Jesus Christ. They will see his and celebrate his lordship. And Jesus says, on that day, I'm going to be drinking the wine again. We are going to have a party. The Bible calls it the marriage supper of the Lamb. But it is going to be such a celebration when all of our sin is finally over and done with, when we're transformed, we have new bodies, we're with God. The Bible says we will be like him, which is just a staggering sort of thought. I can't even begin to get to the beginning of this. But when we take this bread and wine, we do it in this expectation that we have got a God who is the God of eternity and a God who has prepared eternity for us. So just to recap on those thoughts, I hope that they will help you next time you break bread. They said, if you just remember the word look, first of all, it's very easy to go on from there. We look back. Jesus Christ has died, but Jesus Christ has also risen. Jesus Christ is also ascended, so we look up to the one who is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We look inwards at our lives, come again and ask afresh for the forgiveness of God, knowing that he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. We look around at those whom God has placed us with. How can I help? How can I be helped? How can I encourage and challenge and comfort people? We look outwards. We've got this message to share with others. And we also look forwards to the day that Jesus Christ returns to this earth and sets up his kingdom and we enjoy eternity with him. I pray that that will be a help and an inspiration as we take bread together. Not today, but when you next take bread, that will help you. Thank you so much.